the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So for a few moments of our time together, we want to talk about the authentic Jesus.
Amen.
Before you take your seat, let us go to God in prayer. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you and we praise you for this privilege, this opportunity to be able to come into the house of prayer just one more time. Oh, Lord, we thank you for each and every soul that is here, each and every soul, each and every family that is represented. We ask, Father God, that you would have your will this day. Touch our hearts, touch our minds, take away our stony hearts, and give us hearts of flesh. We ask, Father God, that you would make us amenable to receive that which you have for us today.
Holy Spirit.
Lord, we pray that your word would find a lodging place in our heart, and that we would not leave this place the same way that we came in, but we would leave with a greater fire, a greater desire to do that which is your will. Our prayer is, Father God, that you would decrease me, and that you would increase your Holy Spirit, that your word would go forth with clarity and with power, and that it would do those things that you've purposed it to do, some to encourage, some to be exhorted, and others still to come into a saving knowledge of you. Now, these and all other things we ask and do pray in the mighty and matchless name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we all do say, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen, 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 amen. It's just good again to see each and every one of you in the house of the Lord. Amen. Not everybody who wanted to come was able to come. And those of us who are here, we should count it a privilege. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Last night, I got a call, and it just broke my heart. Someone who we have been close with has passed. Not even passed. You know, we use all these euphemisms. She died. But she went home to be with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You know, when I was a mortician, we would say things like, well, you know, and we would make fun of people who would say things like, well, they expired. Well, then renew them. You know, they passed away. Well, then are they going to pass back in? You know, because people have a real crazy fear of death. And you know what? I can understand that if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you should have a fear of death.
Yes.
Because if you don't know Jesus and the pardon of your sins, you will go to a very real place called hell. Amen. Now, this is what you're getting for free. This is not even my sermon. But the point I'm making is that death will visit all of us unless you get raptured.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Good teaching.
This is like, I should say, the sermon before the sermon, but it was just on my heart. There's someone who me and my wife walked with and talked with who actually would fry ribs. I mean, it's like, I never had a fried rib until we met her. And then found out, everything fried is good. Look, don't be cold throwing cold water.
Good.
But the point is that we had fellowship with this person. We loved this person. This person was a major part of our life for a long time. And then to hear that she has died, you know, again, I'm glad because she's in no more pain. She's no more hurting. And she's in the presence of the Lord, but I'm going to miss her. But at the end of the day, we all must walk that way.
Amen.
And so with that being said, you know what? It just helps if you know the authentic Jesus.
Amen.
Because if you know the authentic Jesus, here in the text, Jesus asks two questions. He asks, who do people say I am? And then he turns around and says, who do you say I am? It is interesting that Jesus asked this of the disciples. Here's some guys who've been hanging out with Jesus for almost 3 years. And you would think that by now, you know, they would have this thing together. But Jesus, like anything else, when you near the end of your coursework in school. When you near the end of, and you're getting close to getting that diploma, some places have you do a cumulative test.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And that basically what that test is to see how much you have learned while you were there, while you were not just paying money, amen, and not just eating ramen, and you know, because, you know, if you're a starving student, you eating ramen, you know, amen. You get your little lunch ticket, you figure out ways to make things happen while you in school. It kind of does, school does kind of sort of help you in life, amen.
Yes.
You know, the degree is great, but learning how to make meals stretch is even better. Amen. And so here the disciples are, they're in the presence of Jesus, and you would think that this exchange that Jesus has with them is important. And you know why it's important? Because it appears in all three synoptic gospels. And each way, Peter's answer is phrased the same way. We even find that Jesus asked Peter the same question in John, where he responds the same way. You are the Christ.
Uh-huh.
So it was so important that each one of the gospel writers speaks of Peter's confession to Jesus in this account. And it just makes sense. I mean, because after all, these men are going to go from being disciples to apostles. They are going to be the individuals who are going to go out into the world and set it on his head. They're going to go out into the world and talk about Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but the world is, you know, when you start talking about Jesus, the world starts losing its mind. But you know, the thing is this. These were men who were being taught, and even though they didn't know what it was that they were about to do, they knew that they were on the cusp of something important, the cusp of something that was going to take off. And Jesus had to know that they knew what it was that they were supposed to say to the world. And so Jesus, knowing that, as my friend Pastor Fred Campbell would say, that Jesus was going to do the essential work of the cross, that he was going to die. But he needed to die. And Jesus had to make sure that the disciples knew who the authentic Jesus was. So then when he would die, when he would be buried, when he would be resurrected, all this so that they would be prepared to have an answer in regards to Jesus the Christ. So when they embarked upon this mission of turning the world upside down, Jesus asked them this question: who do men say I am? So what does it mean to turn the world upside down? Or even better yet, what does it mean to you? If you can remember that question, you'll have the sermon in a sentence. And it's simply put, what does it mean to turn the world upside down? Or even better yet, what does it mean to you?
Yes.
What it is, well, the first question that Jesus asks is, what is it that the world says about me? And so the disciples, you know, they were there with the people. When he fed the 5,000, they were there and they were able to hear the people talking about Jesus. And so Jesus said, and you know, every so often it's good to know what it is that people are saying about you. Amen. You everything that people say about you ain't necessarily a lie. Amen. You ought to know what it is that people are saying about you. So Jesus turns to the disciples and he asks them, what is it do people say about me? And the disciples responded. They said, well, you know, some of the folk think you are an Old Testament saint. Or you one of the men from the past, one of the prophets from the past. Some people think that you're Elias, and some people think that you're Jeremiah, and even some said that, well, you know, he just John the Baptist, but raised from the dead. But you know what? Even today, Jesus asked the question to men of a dying world, who do you say I am?
Yeah.
And so, just like then, even now, if you were to ask maybe some Muslims, and they might respond, well, Jesus was a prophet, but Muhammad was the greater prophet. Matter of fact, if you were to go ask some people of the Baha'i faith, and the folk of the Baha'i faith believe that all ways lead to God. So they would just say, well, he's just one path of many paths. Or maybe if you were to ask the Jews, then the Jews would say, well, Jesus was a just man and he was an okay rabbi, but he wasn't all that. He wasn't the divine. He wasn't all that. He was just a ragamuffin. If you were to ask an agnostic, if he would just say the opposite, that Jesus was divine, but he wasn't a man. So he couldn't, but we believe that what? Jesus is all man and Jesus was all God. Can I make this real for you? In the world that we live in today, the question is still asked, is still poised to sinful men. Who do you say the Son of Man is? Well, you know what? If you went to or watched a funeral just recently, you heard some people say, well, he's the man upstairs. Like he's somebody that all you had to do was climb to the top of a stairway and there he would be. Now some people consider God to be like a heavenly grandfather with pictures of you. Where he would say, well, you know, this is Stan when he did this, and this is, I'm going to call Brother House, I'm going to call your first name. This is Millage when Millage look, he gonna jump on me later. But this is Millage when he got his degree, and we were so proud that he got his degree. God is not, although God is very proud of the things that we have done, he is most proud of us when we receive his son, Jesus. Yeah. He's not just the man upstairs, but he's the God of the universe. Yeah. He's the one, he sits high and looks low, but he sits high and looks low because all of creation is under his feet. Yeah. He's spoken into being. He stepped out onto nothing, looked out into nothing, and spoke into nothing. Worlds without end. He is the owner of a cattle of a thousand hills. He's not the man upstairs. He knows your heart. Yeah, he knows your heart.
Come on.
And some of our hearts are hearts of stone.
Come on. Come on. That was Lord.
The world says, the world would have you believe that God is just some fable. The world, sin, and Satan would have you believe that the Jesus that the Bible reports is not the Jesus that he is. No, Jesus is, the devil would have you believe that Jesus is that picture that sits on your grandmother's wall. Got the halo going, don't look nothing like you. Well, he would have you believe that, you know, we don't call them cocktail tables anymore. We say coffee tables. There was a transition somewhere in there. But there's some of y'all who believe that picture inside that big old Bible that sits on your grandmother's coffee table, open to the same page.
Year after year.
Well, I think it's been laminated. Some of y'all she come through, she dust it every so often. Jesus is a picture on the page. No, he's more than just a picture in a page, more than just a name in a book. The world would have you believe, and Satan would want you to believe. It is his desire that all men, women, boys, and girls go to hell. He'll fool you, amaze you, distract you.
Yes.
With all the things in the world, just so you won't believe that there is a God and that he has a son named Jesus. The world says to reject the authentic Jesus. But what say you? Jesus then turns to the disciples and he turns to them and he says, but who do you say I am?
Now,
Peter answered and he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And some of us here have made that confession with our mouth. Some of us believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But yet and still, there may be some under the sound of my voice who are still struggling with the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus is more than what the Muslims say he is. That Jesus is more than what the Jews say he is, that Jesus is more than what your friends say he is. Jesus calls out throughout our lifetimes until that day when you accept him as your own. That's how come it was important when we began to sing that song right before I came up. I belong to God.
Amen.
He wants you to belong to him. There are folk out there who make an argument. Well, you know, that Jesus back in that day, the things that Jesus was saying, you know, well, that couldn't be. One of the greater historical figures within the American experience was Thomas Jefferson. And what a lot of people don't realize about Thomas Jefferson is that Thomas Jefferson was a deist, which basically means that he didn't believe that Jesus had all the power that Jesus had. And so what he did one day is that he extracted all the miracles that Jesus had done out of his Bible.
Yes,
and all he had left was just what Jesus had said. But don't you know that you need all the Bible to get all the things that are due for you? You don't get it. Let me put it to you this way. Anybody ever go and buy a service? Let's say, you bought a car. You bought the car, and on this car, you have a contract. Anybody here ever buy a car? Don't raise your hand, because it's going to get ugly in a minute. You go buy this car, and you know when you were getting ready to get the car, right? You hopped in the car. You drove the car. You liked the way that the car felt, the way the car smelled. It rode nice. It looked nice. You were just thinking to yourself, I'm going to take a lot of people to church in this car. That's another story for another opening. So you go back to the dealer run your credit, you play that game where he says, well, this is the price of the car. You say, well, can you do a little bit better? He run upstairs, he say, look, I talked to my boss, this is about the best that I can do. You say, well, go back and ask him again. So he goes upstairs, gets a cup of coffee, make sure there's enough cup of cream in it, comes back downstairs and says, it took me a hard time. I really had to work real hard on my boss to get you this price. And you like, oh, well, yeah, well, that's good. It sounds like you work real hard for me. Okay, I'm going to buy it. He said, here, sign on the dotted line. You sign away your next 5 years worth of paychecks just so you can get this here car. He said, very good, thank you. Then he gives you the keys to another car. Wait a minute. Hold up. That's not what I paid for. That's not what I was riding around in. Yes, you're right, sir. That's true. But the contract that you signed a contract for a whole nother car.
That's it.
Imagine when all the promises of God are taken out of his Bible.
Well,
you don't have all the promises of God. You walk away with something less than what you originally had.
All right. All right.
You can't pick and choose. This ain't the buffet. You ever go to the buffet?
Yes, yeah.
I know you have, because half of y'all are like,
oh, yeah. All right. All right.
I don't say nobody here. Right. But you go to the buffet. John is just back there going, me. But you go to the buffet. When you go to the buffet, if you don't want the corn, you ain't got to have the corn. And if you don't want the corn, green beans, you don't have to have the green beans. And maybe you just ain't feeling fried chicken. I don't know what is wrong with you. But you don't have to have the fried chicken. And then if you don't want to have dessert, you ain't got to have it either. But guess what? Your Bible is not a buffet.
Yeah.
It is a meal that is made for you.
Yeah.
It is a meal that has all the nutrients that you need.
Yeah.
It is a meal that is healthy for you. It is a meal that will make you healthy, wealthy, and wise unto salvation. It is a meal that is sumptuous. It is a meal that you'll never go hungry. It's a meal that always makes sure that it may go down sour, but it'll always come out sweet. It's a meal that is made just for you by the master chef. He has taken everything that is needed in this meal and made it so that it would be nourishing for you, not just for the day, but throughout all of eternity.
Amen.
Come and eat ye all of it.
All of it.
What is it that you say? Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know the authentic Jesus makes the world stand on its head. Yeah. How do I know? Because when you begin to talk about Jesus, people lose their minds. Righteously so. I mean, if you think about it, because what Jesus says, he is an inclusive, exclusive God.
Yes, sir.
In other words, he says anybody can be saved, but you can only be saved if you believe in the Son. For no man can go to the Father except through the Son.
Yeah.
He is an inclusive, exclusive God.
Yes,
anyone can be saved. Any man, any woman, any boy, any girl. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you shall be saved.
Amen.
That's all you got to do. If nothing more, do it because you just don't want to go to hell.
Yeah, fire insurance.
I'm telling you, I can tell you this from my own personal experience because that's how I received Jesus. I didn't want to go to hell, but I figured I'd just live it any kind of way I wanted. Here I am now, 54, and I'm sitting here preaching about the Word of God. God, if God can get you to the table, he'll get you to the meal.
Amen.
Jesus says, his life will change the way you think. His, you know, before you used to freak out when people would talk about Jesus. I don't want to talk about that Jesus stuff. You don't want to talk about it because late at night you'd be tossing and turning because
come
of all the
now.
Other
come
Jesus
on.
Stuff
come on.
That people had said.
Come on.
People who became saved, you just didn't hear the word once, but you heard it twice, thrice, four times, five times. That grandmother, whoever you visited at that house, she would tell you about Jesus. You know, we have a rule now, and I think it was a rule created by Satan, that at the dinner table, you can't talk religion or politics. Matter of fact, I think we need to toss that out the window. Anytime we sit down and we got a captive audience, you ought to be talking about Jesus. You ought to be talking about how good he's been to his soul. You ought to be talking about how good it is and how wonderful it is to know that when I die, I'm going to go immediately into his presence. You need to let somebody know that when I'm hurting, when I feel like I'm the last, I'm the least, and when I feel like I'm lost, there's a Jesus who looks out for me. No, I may not be able to see him with my eye, but I can feel him in my heart. Sometimes, you know, people will leave you hanging. All your best friends. Matter of fact, the truth of the matter is, if you ain't lived no amount of time until all your friends have abandoned you, and all you got left is Jesus, you don't realize all that you need until Jesus is all that you got. You wouldn't know that he's able to heal you until you got sick. You wouldn't know that he was able to take care of your finances until your finances needed help. You wouldn't know that he's a company keeper until all the company that was keeping you had gone and left. You wouldn't know that Jesus is able to do all things and do all things well unless you needed something done well. What is it that Jesus says? Well, I'm glad you asked. Jesus answers and he says to them, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Jesus responds to Peter's statement with extreme pleasure.
Yes.
It is the type of elation that you get as a parent towards a child. You know, that the first time when your son, who you thought that, Lord help him, he walking across the stage, getting a diploma. He got one of the flat hats with the tassel on the end. He wearing a robe. It may not be a white robe. It might be a green robe if you're going to Hamilton. It might be blue if you're going to L.A. But you walking across the stage with a flat hat and a robe and a big old cheese-eating grin across your face. There's only two times when people call out your full name. First time is when you mess up really bad. You mess up really bad, all of a sudden your middle name come out, Stanley Keith Evans.
I messed up.
But then, when you walk across the stage and you're ready to get your diploma, They'll call out your full name because you want your full name called out.
Yes.
When you get your diploma, right. You want every syllable. Don't matter if you got one of them names that got about 13 letters in it. You want all 13 letters pronounced. Amen. Amen. Stanley Keith Evans now receiving the diploma. Matter of fact, May 17th, if the Lord says the same, I'm going to have me a diploma. Woo! Come out to Pepperdine, the weather be nice. Just be careful because there might be a seagull that'll come by and leave you a deposit. But Jesus is happy when Peter begins, says what it is that he says. And I can tell that Jesus is happy. Why? Because he immediately starts referencing the Father. He says, "Did no man tell you this? My Father told you this."
Yes.
Look. Can I make this real for you?
Yeah, please.
Can I make this real for you?
Yeah.
Sometimes your parents are the only people who know things about you.
Come on now.
That's true.
Amen. And so sometimes if my son is real good about doing what it is for the most part, not real good, most part. He's real good for the most part doing everything that I ask him to do. One of the things that I ask him to do is don't you go nowhere unless I give you permission. Sometimes, though, I'm not able to reach him, and I may have to send a third party. If I send a third party, I will send him with a story that only he knows. So that way he knows that it came from me. Don't you know that this is the same way here? When Peter makes that statement, even though Peter has been with Jesus all this time, even though Peter has run 3 years with Jesus, he don't know everything about Jesus, but the Father does. And so when the Father tells Peter this, and Peter repeats what it was that the Father told him, Jesus got happy. You know why Jesus gets happy? Jesus gets happy because he knows now that these men are going to do what it is that he's called them out to do. They're going to turn the world upside down. Why? Because just like they heard from Jesus, they have heard from the Father. Just like they know Jesus' voice, they know the Father's voice. And don't you know Jesus says that if the Son is in the Father and the Father is in the Son, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. Don't ask to see the Father. If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. Just one more story and I'm going to be done. If you go on my Facebook page, there's a picture of me and not Brielle, but Brianna. Brianna is my niece. And so at the time that picture was taken, it was many years ago because now Brianna is a full grown woman. She got kids and a husband and she living life. And so, but this picture was taken back when she was a little girl. And don't you know my face is a lot thinner? I'm still just as good looking. And she's a whole lot smaller. But don't you see, but if you didn't know me and only knew my son, you would swear that that was my son holding somebody else's baby. The son looks like the father. If you see the Son, you know the Father. Can I just tell y'all right here, right now? I was walking through, now they ain't visitors. I realize that now. But don't you know all the Sister Pearl family look just like us? You can't deny them if you wanted to. Don't you know that Jesus is the same way with us? Once you receive him as your Lord and Savior, your features don't change, but your spirit changes. But you look like the Father because now you've accepted the Son. And he makes sure that you look like him because he seals you with the Holy Spirit. So now his thoughts become your thoughts. You're able to hear from the Father because you've accepted the Son. And the Son has given you the Holy Spirit. All that is proof of purchase. You didn't buy the car that you thought you bought. You got a better car. Oh, y'all ain't getting it. You thought you was getting one thing. I thought when I received him as my Lord and Savior, all I was getting was insurance from hell. But don't you know that as I began to walk in my faith, as I began to talk in my faith, as I began to hang around people who were just like me, all of a sudden it became more than just the walk, more than just the talk, more than just fire insurance. He became my Savior, and I begin to say, I belong to him. I belong to God. Don't you know, and I'm going to say this and keep my seat, that I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let him tell all about our trouble. He'll hear our faintest cry, and he'll answer, I am I. When you feel a little prayer, we'll turn it, and you know a little fire is burning.
Come on now.
You'll just find out that just a little talk with Jesus makes it all right.
Yes, sir.